We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
DNVR Draft Pod on this gloomy Friday. Feels extra gloomy. Won't get into that too much, maybe in some subliminal ways. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one book in all the land. Use that code DNVR for all their amazing offers. J&J with me, Justin, Jake, Rams, Buffs. Whew! Justin, how are we feeling today?
I mean, I'm hopeful, I guess. I mean, Broncos game last night, I just at this point, I'm like, at least I get to watch a different team. It's been a rough start, but CSU, they're going to be playing some freshmen. And I think that's exciting because as I've written multiple times, this season's record at this point, it's pretty much out the window. The Mountain West is really bad. So there's a possibility of, you know, making some noise, but really, the focus is on the future at this point. We're going to get to see some of the highly anticipated young freshmen. And, you know, it's kind of exciting. At some point, you just got to focus on moving forward. And I think that's where we're at with CSU.
Jake, you wouldn't know anything about exciting young freshmen and how that's all you have to look forward to.
That's been my life for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's so true.
The football gods have sort of spared me, though, because the Buffs are on bye this weekend. So I get a sort of a football cleanse after whatever the hell I experienced last night.
That's a great slate to be on the bye for, to be honest. Like last weekend's slate, people kind of hyped it up going in because there were a lot of ranked matchups. And it was a decent day, but I think this is the more optimal weekend. And it kind of works out that way for me too with CSU playing on Friday. I actually talked about that. Yeah. I miss the old school Mountain West days, Thursday night football and ESPN2. They like owned it, you know, they had this whole brand and it's just gone out the window. And then you still get to watch the rest of the slate all weekend. It's perfect.
Yeah. And Sunday without the Broncos actually sounds kind of nice. And starting freshman and just having that to look forward to might just be the direction the Broncos go in. We are the only podcast in the world that can talk about that exact topic. It's just like the bye week's a cleanse for Jake, the draft pod, a cleanse for us all in Broncos country. Just thinking of what could be, even if there's no first or second round picks, we can find options down low. Actually, I haven't seen Justin since the Romeo Dubs breakout. This podcast was first. Justin was first. If you listen to us, you would own him in every dynasty you're an owner in, like I do. Thank you, Justin. Amazing call. We always knew he was a better pick than Watson. Look at that.
I'll say this. If Romeo Dubs wins Rookie of the Year, I might be taking a little vacation based on some bets I took, just some early flyers. I love his potential, and it made sense. You know, they needed a guy that could be effective in the red zone and stretch the field. That's what he did his entire career at Nevada. It's a perfect fit. So, you know, it was just seamless. I'm glad it's worked out though, because sometimes it seems perfect on paper and for whatever reason, it just doesn't come to fruition. But it just seems to be a perfect situation with him out in Green Bay.
Yeah, no kidding, man. He's been impressive. He actually was this close to having another bomb last week against the Patriots. And you're right, like, Green Bay is good about finding those later round wide receivers, but they rarely break out as
like rookies. Right away. Yeah,
that was crazy. But talking about perfect combinations, Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams have been really impressive to start the season at USC. Our Pac-12 insider, Jake, was kind of telling me, like, dude, did you see what Caleb Williams did this last weekend? And my God, have I now. So that's how we open the podcast. It's a classic. Every single year, we feel like the guy coming up next is the real stud. But boy, does that feel like the case, Jake. I'll let you break it down more. I guess I'll intro it this way, though. Feels like the arm talent is at CJ Stroud's level, and the feel and ability to like improvise and never be dead in the water is Bryce Young-esque. And to have both those things in one guy is scary right now.
He is playing on a different planet. so far, 1,402 yards, 67% completion, 12-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He's also added 3 touchdowns on the ground. Hasn't done much in terms of running the ball, but as you said, that arm was on display last week. They only played Arizona State. So I don't blame you if the listeners don't even know what I'm talking about with this game here.
Yeah.
But you got to go back and watch. There's a throw when USC is backed up. I think it's third quarter. They're backed up to near their own goal line. And the pocket is literally collapsed. Mm-hmm. You can almost not see Caleb Williams. And then you just see him jump in the air a little bit, and the ball just floats straight up. It looks like this. It's literally Mahomes-like. It's stuff that he does where it's like almost no, 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 no. Yes, 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 yes. Because that was exactly what happened.
And it hits just Jordan amazing. Addison on the outside shoulder at the sticks. It's a jump pass that, it looks like the first interception Russ has on Thursday night, where it's like, what? Yes. He's just like sending it. And it's a safety for 95% of quarterbacks in the world, all levels. And yet he pulled that out of his ass. I love the touchdown throw, maybe second quarter. And he's running backwards and to his right. And he throws it. Yeah. It's like a fadeaway throw, you know, like a fadeaway jump shot. And across his body, and he hits like the tight end on the money, leading him perfectly for maybe their second touchdown of the game. Arizona State had him under siege. His ability to like wiggle out of pressures, insane. And then he was making those Mahomes like impossible throws. It was wild.
The way he tightroped the sideline, he was, I don't know which quarter and when it was later in the game. He was rolling left. Right-handed quarterback, rolling left. He is at the sideline, literally like inches away from going out of bounds, flips his hips and just guns it to the sticks. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Williams or Addison, just right at the sticks, just amazing arm strength, right on the target. This dude is an absolute stud.
So let me ask you guys this. Is Jordan Addison your wide receiver one at this point?
For me, yes. Now,
I mean, he already won the Biletnikoff. It's not like this is out of nowhere.
I mean, how many times has a guy who won the Biletnikoff and had a Heisman finalist at quarterback improved his quarterback the next season? Like, dude, this is wild what we're seeing. It's really insane. And man, he's, you know, Bowdy has so much more raw natural talent. He also has, like, it's not just the inconsistency on tape, but I mean, Justin, preseason, you were mentioning the drops, you know? So like even his on-field ability and scouting report is going to be skewed by all the big plays he's going to make. He's going to make some plays that really leave you, let you down. And Jackson Smith and Jigba hasn't played.
We have Zay Flowers. Boston College, he's going off, man.
Get those royalties, Jake. Get those royalties. you know, Zay Flowers. I mean, the TCU kid is insane as well. Mm-hmm. So Quentin Johnston? Say his name.
Quentin Johnston. Okay. Yes. I got the guy that the Buffs held to like 3 receptions and 22 yards. That one.
There
yes.
you go. He looked another size on the field with the Buffs secondary. So credit to them for actually tackling him. But to answer your question, yeah, he is to me. And his comp is kind of hard to find because he's smaller than most of the like true route running savants you have in the NFL. Like even Judy, he's smaller than Judy, smaller than Diggs. He's smaller than Justin Jefferson. He's smaller than like prime Adam Thielen. He is bigger than like Randall Cobb. I wonder if more athletic Hunter Renfrow is something I was trying on this morning. But I the guy's feel, the guy's hands, the guy's toughness, his wiggle, it's really impressive, man. He's one of those guys where you say, I don't want a full NFL roster of these dudes or we're going to get bullied around. But I want a couple guys like this because in spite of his size, he makes it all work.
Well, it's kind of like Devontae Smith at Alabama. I mean, he's not physically great imposing. Comp. He's, yes. you know, he's not looking in the mirror. You know, you're not going to be like, oh my God, this guy is a freak. But he just always seems to be open. And if, if always. You're always open, there's room for you in the NFL. I mean, it's Renfrow and I took everything to not get a, you know, Renfrow's sneaky athletic in there, but I don't know, man. Addison has just been so impressive and it's been a very large, consistent body of work in which he's done it now and multiple styles of play and different types of quarterbacks. And if you're a GM, I mean, plug and play. Point. This kid's going to be fine no matter where he lands.
It's a great point.
He's also able to make an impact at all three levels. He catches these screen passes. He's upfield so quick. He's got the speed to win deep. He's done that multiple times. He's confident enough in his routes and his hands to win intermediately. Just an absolute stud. Also, shout out Jacob Cowing at Arizona. This guy is someone to watch out for. Yes. If you guys haven't watched him.
Great name. Yeah.
The Pac-12's fun this year. Like, it's not
really fun. Yeah.
I don't know if they have a true title contender at this point, but I think top to bottom, look, man, USC's offense is fun, but that defense still has some legit holes in it. As many turnovers as they force, the physicality gap in the trenches, they think is still going to be significant, even if they make it. Oh. But
honestly, that might be my biggest takeaway from watching Caleb Williams is as absurd as he is, as like at this level, Jordan Addison's like fucking illegal. That O-line for USC that has some prospects on it is not going to be able to hold up when the going gets tough. They're just
like, even against Utah and Oregon, it's going to be interesting to see what happened. If Washington State, that front seven that Washington State has this weekend, Deion Henley getting in there, that's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, great point. That's going to be trouble. And Williams, I mean, he does still have those. You know, I love how much he's improved from Oklahoma and his decision making, but he has that to his game. Like, it's not always steady Eddie. He's going to make, I mean, that throw we described as great as like a jump passes from the end zone that gets you converts a 3rd and 10. Holy shit, we just described a jump pass from the end zone that floated in the air for like 20 seconds. Like that
if it gets picked, we're just railing on him for 10 minutes.
Of course. So the same goes with the fadeaway crossbody like dime. Like if the placement on that is just off, if it's a little behind, you're completely screwed. It's Arizona State's right back in it. They're probably having to come from behind from the second half. So yeah, it's really interesting. If he was draft eligible, he would be QB1 for me. I don't think that's too much of a hot take, but like with quarterbacks, we are fading into it's those plus traits. It's like, how much are you dripping with gravy? And holy shit, he's like a full on, he's like the KFC warehouse of gravy. Like he's just like industrial tubs.
That 20 pounds is significant too between him and Bryce. Like, I still think Bryce is the most polished quarterback in college football, the most composed guy when the game's on the line. Like, he's just proved it time and time again. Love his arm, but he's slight. Like, he's legitimately tiny. Yes. And you see it like when he takes these hits. And granted, it's only a sprained AC joint this time. Thank the Lord. who knows, though? That can be a nagging injury, you know? That's, you know, I think that people are kind of looking at it as like, oh, he'll be back there in 2-3 weeks. Sometimes it's more like 5-6. So
yeah,
we'll see. But especially in the NFL, I mean, with Tua, I saw, you know, some people talking about how he, on that hit he took, he weighed 135 pounds less than the defensive lineman bringing him down.
Josh,
that's the difference between a grown man and like a toddler.
Yes, so, it is. Yes, it
is. I mean, you have to factor this type of stuff in.
I mean, that's how much I weighed when I started at BSN. It's Andre at mid 20s difference. No, and he's like more slender than maybe all of these small guys. He's certainly way smaller than Russ. He's probably like Kyler's size, but Kyler is one of the most elite athletes we have ever seen at the position. And shit, I mean, if I think Caleb Williams at USC isn't sustainable, Kyler is not sustainable in the NFL. Like, that dude is, they are living on the wild side if they expect him to be like full blown Barry Sanders mode. It's insane.
That team's got issues, dude.
Yes. Yes.
They gave Kingsbury an extension.
It's crazy. Is that, do you agree with me, Justin? That was because they were worried like Texas might come after him or something?
Yeah, that had to be that. It's like insane. They were worried about a top tier college program taking him.
Right.
And
right.
Knowing Kingsbury probably would have done it because I think he's smart enough to get out while his stock is still high. Yep. But they threw enough money at him to where it's like, all right, well, you can't just fire me, I guess. And if you do, you're going to have to pay it out. So I'll do it. But
it's one
of the worst run teams in football. Like watching them,
as
frustrating as watching the Broncos is, they're completely frustrating in a different type of way. There's just no structure. It's all right, go play backyard football. And it's worked out to a couple of wins for Arizona so far, but they're going to have like that 2 or 3 game stretch where everything compounds and it all falls apart.
Yeah, I mean, we can dog on Kingsbury all we want, but honestly, Steve Keim's got to be held responsible at some point. This guy drafted Josh Rosen, had to move on immediately to Kyler Murray, and this is where the Kingsbury stuff all came from. So it's just been compounding mistakes for the Cardinals, and it starts at the top, I think. This is a guy, I mean, really, after Carson Palmer, what have the Cardinals done besides get fortunate enough to land Kyler Murray?
Yeah, no, I mean, nothing. And Cliff, frankly. Like even that was a big swing, and it's worked out as well as any decision they've made in the last 10 years. Okay. So, and yeah, I want to get back to what Justin was saying. I think that injury for Bryce is huge because to this point, it was just a talking point. Like, yeah, he's really small. But you could kind of say what I was saying when Kyler was coming out, which was like, dude, he's so like wiggly. He never gets squared up on. Like, you watch Kyler at Oklahoma, they never squared him up. Though that's where that national semifinal against Alabama, and I think Quinnen Williams buzzed him in the ear a couple of times, and it was like, oh, okay, against NFL athleticism, you might get squared up. And this will be part of the narrative for Bryce. For other quarterbacks, other prospects, it's not going to matter as much. For him and the size being the number one thing you got to talk about, it's like...
Especially when Stroud is the other guy, and it's like, well, do we go with him or
and Levis for some? Like Kuiper has Levis ahead of him. There are some. It's wild. But since we're on the quarterbacks, and since last night was such a bummer, low end options in this 2023 class that is absolutely loaded at the edge and at quarterback. Those are like really the strong points. Geez, after Baron Browning that I saw last night. I think they might be okay if they can get healthy at the edge, but that was wild.
The team is dying.
Yeah,
the team is dying.
The team is dying, Jake. Yes, indeed. So let's talk about cheap quarterback options that might be out there this draft, and kind of our sneaky favorites. And Jake, you kind of came up with a surprise one before we went live. You didn't tell us who it is, so I'm going to start with you because... I really got to hear this.
This guy is ranked number 469 on the Pro Football Network mock draft simulator.
His
name, Dorian Thompson Robinson at UCLA.
Oh, wow.
Did you watch what this guy did to Washington on Friday night last week? I mean, just an absolute beast. His progression from freshman year to now is off the charts. He's playing at such a high level right now through the ground and the air. Last week against UCLA, 24-33, 315 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, added 10 carries on the ground, 53 yards and a touchdown, including jumping straight into the stratosphere to hurdle a man, and then doing that Lamar Jackson goal line juke on Washington, making two players collide at the goal line. This guy is unbelievable.
That was disrespectful, man. That was some like and one Gatorade commercial type stuff. It didn't even look real.
You guys were going off during that game, and I didn't want to chime in and be like, I mean, he's thrown through some wide open windows. You know, I'm trying to not be that guy in my older age. But that would be the question is, where is he in tight windows?
Yeah, I mean, something he's got to work on, but just the progress. I'm so impressed by his progression. Because
it's true. It's a great point.
Go back 2 years ago, I was dogging this guy on this podcast. Yep. I mean, he was making some boneheaded plays, and he's really seemed to iron some of that out. Even against Colorado. I mean, I know it's Colorado, but he was just on fire all game against the Buffs, and it was really no contest. They just don't have anyone that can hang with him.
That's a great name. I love that you threw that out there. And I mean, this week we'll get into it against Utah. Huge, man.
Mm-hmm.
Huge ability to really prove himself. Clark Phillips, the corner for Utah, coming off three interception game. He's like in the mix for CB1. Insane player. Justin, who would you have or thoughts on DTR?
Well, I'm just glad you brought up Utah, because if we're going late options, I'm big on Cam Rising. I think he's poised, man. I know that throw against Florida that cost them was brutal, but I think he does everything you like at him. I think he gives you just enough mobility to open things up, you know, out of the play action. I think he's got a good arm. I like his decision making most of the time. And he just feels like a guy that you could, you know, land in the fourth, fifth round, not necessarily have to invest extremely high in. Although we'll see. I mean, if Utah goes on a run here, I could definitely see his stock rising. But no. Ha.
Good work.
Not even intended. But yes, I'm big on the Utes quarterback. And I think Utah still wins the Pac-12 despite all of the USC hype.
I like that. That's spicy. I wonder what those odds are right now. That'd be a good note while we do the DraftKings read in 5 minutes or so. Geez, there's so many options. Obviously, my bae, Brennan Armstrong, who is not playing the way he was last year. Extremely disappointing. Love that Talia at Maryland, Tua's brother, is starting to get the hype train back. But go ahead, Jake.
We're going to have a Michael Penix conversation at some point, too.
Leading the nation in passing yards, am I correct?
Yes, yes.
At least per game, I think, which is total. Wild. Total. Well, there you go. You know, guys like Jaren Hall, we've talked about on the pod. Hendon Hooker has had a really good season. I would go Cam Ward, though, and he's far from been super consistent. But the Washington State quarterback, who himself has a big matchup this weekend going up against USC and Caleb Williams. I just love the quick twitchness. He's kind of poor man's Zach Wilson, but I think maybe a better decision maker and probably not as many wow throws. And he, you know, it's just those quick hips. He gets it out. Quick decision maker. Those quick hips really translate as a runner or being elusive in the pocket. I think his stock has actually picked up quite a bit.
His touch is impressive.
His touch
with guys
is
in his
impressive.
Face, like there were multiple throws in that CSU game where he had Mo Kamara in his face. By the way, future draft prospect Mo Kamara at CSU. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's an NFL edge. He's a stud. But there were a couple of times where Mo was in his face, and it doesn't even look like he can see the receiver, and he drops it back shoulder, you know, in the corner of the end zone or on the sideline, puts it exactly where it needs to be.
Yeah.
His escapability, as Dre mentioned, is for real. I was going to go with Cam Ward as well. He actually feels like kind of a natural quarterback you would bring in behind Russell Wilson, just in terms of like your offense wouldn't really skip a beat, very similar stylistically. But yeah, I'm in on Cam Ward. I will say The Oregon game hurt me. Some really bad decisions down the stretch that cost them in a major way.
They had the upset
because
there.
I bet on them. Yeah. But you had it. You're up double digits.
You had it.
And he threw some unnecessary balls that really hurt them. So he's going to have to prove himself. But I sneaky like Wazoo this weekend. So keep an eye on him.
Cam Ward, I mean, I'm with you guys. He actually kind of reminds me, Dre, of a less athletic Kyler Murray, just yes. in terms of yep. how he kind of runs around behind the line of scrimmage and stuff. He's obviously not nearly as athletic as Kyler because he's just on another planet. He has some weird moments, though. Last yes, week against does. Cal, he threw two interceptions, and both of those interceptions were kind of just like heat check interceptions. I mean, the guy was dealing in the game, but...
Yeah.
The second one in particular, it was very Kyler-esque, honestly. He was like running around, I don't know, 5-10 seconds after the play. He was near the goal line and he just throws it back across and it's just straight to a guy. It's just, I mean, you can't say anything other than, but like a heat check because that's what it was. He was dealing and then just, it's like, I'm just going to see if this can make it into, and it didn't. So, iron that stuff out and I'm on board, but,
not to excuse it. But the receivers are very meh. Like yes. they weren't even really creating that consistent of separation against the CSU secondary. Just throwing it out there.
Valid points.
I guess we're saying watch the Pac-12 to find low-end quarterbacks here.
They've been great.
They have been. They have been. And you said we need to have a Michael Penix conversation as well. We need to have a conversation. I don't know if you guys aired your gripes on our college football betting yet this season. I know you'd mentioned Jesus. Wanting to do that, but it's been weird. And what we need here, we've decided, is a college football committee, just like the actual committee, only not corrupt ADs that are trying to push their own agendas. And just a service to the people, only our Final Four is determined on ATS records. That's against the spread. Presented to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. No, I can't. They didn't buy this segment. We're just having fun with it. And yeah, so there you go. If the committee did have to go against the spread, they would have some amazing candidates. We just wanted to have fun with it. There are only 5 programs in all yep. of Division I who are undefeated against the spread. That's Kansas, James Madison, which, wow, what a Cinderella story that is, mm-hmm. with Todd Senteo at quarterback. Insane. I probably would have lost so much money if someone told me I had to bet on James Madison every week because I am not a Senteo believer. Southern Miss, Texas Christian, who of course Jake saw cover one of those games, and Arkansas State. Just incredible. And you have some great teams with just one loss against the spread, like Bama, Minnesota, Utah, Washington State, who we just talked about, Wake Forest, who's been a great team to bet on, even Washington. So let me hear it, boys. Who are your faves here against the spread? Your gripes to air, I don't care about. I want to hear who are the winners.
Well, we're pro Kansas on this pod. Been one of the few teams this country that's actually been pretty friendly to me. Currently 5-0 against the spread. Incredible. Going against TCU this weekend, so something's got to give there. One of those teams is not going to cover. But
what? This is like I always talk about in the playoffs. A lot of it, you have regular season matchups that are like quarterfinal games. This is like a quarterfinal game for our ATS playoff rankings, man. This is huge.
Kansas, if they win, they're home dogs currently. If they win, they're going to be the first team in the country to become bowl eligible, which would be just an epic story.
Wow. Holy cow, which like is a legit big goal for them.
It's their third straight sellout. This Kansas turnaround is everything that we love about college football.
It is.
It will unfortunately end with everything we hate about college football when a bigger school comes in and takes Leopold. And I have my own gripes about the way we cover this, like how that's the only thing anybody talks about, not focusing on the fact like we can't just enjoy this Kansas season. We have to talk about the end before it even comes. But I'm all in on the Jayhawks, so that they would definitely be in there for me. And I'm all in on K-State as well. So the people listening in Kansas, they're like, pick a side, you asshole. But no, I refuse. I have to cover bad teams. I get both of your Kansas teams.
K-State is the ultimate example of a backfield I trust because Martinez and Deuce Vaughn, right, are just like an amazing backfield. And then draft-wise, their edge rusher, Felix, and Anudike Uzoma, I think, he's been unreal as well. So, yeah, K-State is fun. Love that.
I mean, I've been on the James Madison train. I know, Dre, that you said you've been, I guess, hesitant with Senteo.
Oh, man.
I've been on him, man. Going back to Kansas, though, just something that I've heard a lot about them is I've seen a lot of people just on like Twitter and stuff going, oh, they've only beat West Virginia, they beat Houston, they beat Duke. But when you're 5-0 against the spread, I don't care who you're playing. I mean, you're obviously outplaying odds makers' expectations. I mean, say what you want, I guess, about that. I know it's not like real football, but I think it's a great barometer. On TCU, though, I mean, this team has been, I mean, they're on fire. They're a very good team when they came in to play Colorado, and they've only proved it since. They're very explosive offensively. Colorado's actually held them to their lowest points total to this point, which is crazy.
Insane.
Absolutely crazy. But yeah, the Horned Frogs with Garrett Riley at offensive coordinator, Lincoln's younger brother.
All aboard the Garrett Riley train. I remember being high on TCU in the preseason. Everyone thought I was crazy. That great call by me. I'd almost forgot. James Madison, the thing was, I was looking at that roster. This team's here to stay. There's a lot of redshirt sophomores. And if they can merely like repeat the success of Senteo, they'll be golden, which you'd think after this season is possible. And Justin, they can't make a bowl this year. What's their deal?
Yeah, they're ineligible for the postseason because the NCAA has some stupid rule when you jump up a division that there's like a trial period, essentially. It's essentially to discourage people from trying.
They need to have a trial. Meanwhile, Colorado and Colorado State are here just barely hanging on to any type of, I don't know, call to call themselves a football team at this point.
Yeah, it's really true. I think, no thanks on the free trial that just popped up. Kansas would have to be in there. Texas Christian would have to be in there. Kentucky early on would have been very high in my rankings. I think we got to pump the brakes. Cam Ward, Will Levis has been a little risque to bet on as well. Bama would have been in there. They're 4-1, but the Bryce injury scares me. I also think, you know, right now the book, just like Georgia, you don't know what Bama you're going to get. Wake to me would be in there. I would have given a lot of love to Minnesota until last week as well. But so I think Minnesota, Utah. Yes, please do.
UNLV at 4-1. They're legitimately dynamic on offense. Insane. They're explosive. Wow. They're balanced. They might win the Mountain West. Like they've looked like the best team coming out of the West. They play a big game against San Jose State tonight, actually, that I'm very intrigued to see because San Jose State's defense has been awesome. Their front seven is stacked. It's going to be an opportunity here. UNLV is road dogs in it. I like UNLV to pull the upset. And then after that, if they hit, they'd be 5-1 against the spread.
Wow.
Yeah. After that, they play Air Force and Notre Dame too. So this team, if they can get momentum rolling and get through San Jose State and carry it through October, the Rebels might be a top 25 ranked team. I want to talk about Oregon State though. They're 4-1 against the spread. They didn't cover last week. Great. I can't remember who they played off the top of my head right now, but even when they played USC, Utah. Utah. I mean, Utah kind of took it to them. As Dre mentioned, what's his first name, Drake? Clark? Cam Phillips, the corner?
Cam Phillips, yep.
Cam Phillips. As you mentioned, three picks, but Oregon State is really struggling at the quarterback position right now, and that's why Utah kind of took it to them last week. But you go back a few weeks in that USC game, it was a 14-17 game that they lost. They were in position to win that game at one point. They've just been a really solid team on both sides of the ball. They have legitimate speed on offense. I've said that multiple times across multiple shows. But this Oregon State team has legit speed.
They're fun too. They're just like a fun team to watch. They're physical. They do some dumb college football stuff, but they are an enjoyable watch. New Mexico, 3-1-1 against the spread. Rocky Long defense. I've actually done pretty well betting on the Lobos so far this year.
I mean, you guys kind of make me optimistic for some turnarounds that could be coming. You know, you forget about it, but in college football, it can happen. It's not that impossible.
You need the right hire.
You do. Right hire, right place. UNLV plus 650 to win the Mountain West.
Wow. That's great value, especially given that they don't have that many hard games left in San Diego State and Fresno State, who you projected to be at the top of the West, have really struggled. So they've got a nice little path to the play to the Mountain West title game. They got to get through San Jose tonight. If they can, they're going to be in a great position.
Love that. All of this at DraftKings Sportsbook, all these lines, all these odds. They've got you covered on the NFL, and God, what a glorious Sunday it'll be of NFL where the Broncos can't like ruin a parlay of yours. I know our boys here get themselves in trouble like that. As do I. Jake's SGP yesterday, 10 legger, 8 hit. So my guy knows ball. My guy's knows ball. Don't worry, Justin. It was ruined by the first quarter with a Nyheim Hines injury. Just dude, impossible to hit.
Hold on.
We were never even alive, Jake. It's okay.
We had him in our massive SGP at 4+ receptions. This guy gets targeted twice on their opening drive, catches one of them. I'm feeling amazing. And then right when he gets up after a run, we don't have to talk about it, but my God, the roller coaster of emotions in that drive were out of control.
Yeah, it was rough because everything else, they really drew it up perfectly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, where right now new users can get bet $5 on any NFL team to get win 200 in free bets if they do. In addition, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlay. Sometimes they'll give you the money back when the two legs don't hit for you. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. They've always they're just the goats, man. Download that DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use that promo code DMVR to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
We got a bye week this weekend. If you're a Buffs fan, the Rams play Friday night, so they're not in action this weekend either. No Broncos game. What are you going to do? Hit up Breckenridge Brewery. It's their birthday. 32 years young. Woo. Head on over to Breck Brew, who's throwing a weekend-long hootenanny. It's just fun to say, hootenanny.
Sure is.
Kick off this is the last weekend. We don't get to say hootenanny.
Man, bummer. That's true.
Anyways, if you want to go to that hootenanny where they're going to have live music, food, beer, games, and more, it's going to be the 8th and 9th at their Littleton location. They've got national acts like the Spin Doctors coming, local favorites like Railroad Earth. Hey, that's actually really, really cool. Stay tuned for everything DNVR for Hootenanny giveaways leading up to this weekend. Check out the link in the description or visit breckbrew.com for more details on tickets and artist lineup. I've been to a couple concerts over at the farmhouse now, and they're epic. They do it right. They've got a lot of water for everybody. They have plenty of options to get your beer, so you don't have to wait in long lines. Truly a great experience. Check it out and check out the Breck Beer Locator to find the closest liquor store near you that sells all of the awesome Breck beers on the menu this fall.
Boom. It's pick time. Justin mentioned it. Week 6, really nice slate. We all don't have to work on Saturday. It's kind of glorious. Of course, DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL and of this here podcast, and the provider of all the lines that we use. I'm going to start at Tennessee at LSU. Hendon Hooker, we got to see how far can a star soar. They are 3-point faves here, and I smell some cheese here. I think the book thinks LSU is going to pull this off. But it's in the morning, 10 a.m. at LSU. doesn't scare me as it does at night. Justin nodding his head. He gets what I'm talking about. Picks, boys. Justin, start us off.
I like Tennessee. I think it'll be a wonky game, but we've seen enough consistency out of this offense to believe that they're for real. Mm-hmm. Nighttime in Death Valley, agreed, that scares me. Everybody gets to, you know, day drink. They get to get rocking out in Baton Rouge. 10 a.m., I don't feel quite as scared, yeah. And I'm going to take the talent, so I'm taking Tennessee.
He talked me into it, Jake.
I made a vow for myself after week one, that debacle against Florida State, that I will not be putting any more money on LSU.
Let's go.
So sticking with that, I am going also Tennessee -3. I would like to, I guess, throw maybe a little bit on the money line, but I'm not allowed to do that.
Great people. Stand by the betting limitations they put on themselves. And Jake, I'm proud of you. That's a mature move.
Thank you.
Kansas at TCU. The committee is watching this game closely. Big one for our national championship ATS rankings here. Justin, you sound really dialed. Jake, you've watched the Horned Frogs live. I think we might have a split ski in the room. Justin, are you betting with your heart or your mind, though? That's the big question here.
A little bit of both. I think Kansas can cover 6.5 for sure. At home, sold out crowd, the atmosphere is going to benefit them.
Yes.
Daniels has been really solid for them at quarterback.
Dare I say better quarterback.
I also really think that Kansas's defense is for real. It's one of the better ones in the conference. Not that that says much in the Big 12, but they're competent enough to keep you in the game. TCU, they have the better athletes at the outside, or on the outside, I should say. That makes me a little bit worried. I do think TCU is the better team. I don't know, though. Kansas, an opportunity to be the first bowl eligible team, +215, sold out crowd. I'm rocking with Kansas.
I knew it. I knew it. Jake, what are you doing?
I mean, I'd love to take TCU here, but I look at this over under at 68.5, knowing that this is a Big 12 game, and there's probably going to be tons of scoring as both of these teams have been able to manufacture to this point. So I'm going to go on the Jayhawks too with that 6.5, I think.
Wow. This is fun. Okay. I guess I'll go against the grain, because any consensus pick, usually we're wrong. I'll take TCU, but I love the arguments you are making, and I tend to think Kansas has the bigger quarterback, and they're a home dog with better quarterbacks. Sign me up. I'm all in. Again, that's why you should be betting on TCU. If it's too good to be true, guess what, kids? It is too good to be true. Yes. Yes. Arkansas at Mississippi State. Holy shit. Is the Pirate back? Is the Pirate back, my people?
I'm all for it. I'm just rooting for all air raid teams all the time at this point.
Totally.
Mike Leach is fun. This is going to be one of the more fun games at this point. I'm a little bit hesitant on Arkansas. I think we've seen them waver a couple of weeks now, so that they need a bounce back performance here. Part of that is, that pick that KJ Jefferson threw against A&M was just so frustrating and unnecessary. I just, again, kind of like Cam Ward in that Oregon game. It was just like, you don't need to make that throw. But I'm back in Mississippi State at home.
Just, man, 9-point spread here. 9-point for Sippy.
I'm just saying they cover. I'm not saying that, they take the upset, but I like Mississippi State to cover.
Well, they're laying 9.
Oh, yeah. They're 9?
They're 9-point yes. favorites. This one's stinky, but it's almost stinky the other way, where you might be right, Justin. The fact that it feels horrible to lay 9 on Mississippi State is what should make you want to lay 9. The book is telling you don't trust KJ Jefferson. I love KJ Jefferson. Now, in big games, no, I hate him, but to cover a 9-point spread with Raheem Sanders, yeah, I might be on board. Jake, am I crazy? Why is it so hard to bet on college
football? What are we missing? Is it 9?
It's killer,
all aboard,
bro.
Man. I mean, all aboard the Pirates.
Arkansas has stumbled recently. I mean, they had that just shit show against Texas A&M a few weeks ago. Alabama just laid it on them last week.
That was the week we lost all the bets late. We were actually right, and we just lost it all late. Washington State killed us. Arkansas killed us. It was just like a disaster across the board.
Nine is one of the worst weekends I've had. That was a bad one. Was that the Oregon State weekend too?
That's what I capped the night off with.
Yep.
And then Kansas State pulled the upset over Oklahoma, and I didn't even hit that because I had it locked up in a fucking parlay.
Oh, anyways. Man. Yeah, it's true. We lost every single way you could lose. I feel like we were right about just about every game. We either got fucked one way or we fucked ourselves another. It was just amazing. So I'm taking
Arkansas plus nine.
God damn it. That's why I even put this pick on the board, is that's what I wanted to do. Now you guys literally talked me into Mississippi State.
I'm going with Mississippi State. Nine scares me, but I think Mississippi State has figured it out offensively what they do. And Arkansas, I think, is kind of spinning right now.
Give me a KJ bounce back game.
Yeah, I think so too, which is why I just think it's not happening. Okay, Utah at UCLA. I love the Utes in this one. Absolutely love the Utes. And maybe I'm being a complete sucker again. Talk it out. Jake, you're a Pac-12 insider, so you start this one off.
I mean, for the case for UCLA here is this team has looked really balanced on offense. They've played well on defense also. I mean, I don't think you have any studs defensively. They're just a solid group. I do wonder if last week against Washington was a bit of a mirage, though. They had a couple of Michael Penix picks I mean, they basically stole possessions from them and were able to capitalize the points. The score, I believe, at one point was 40-16 against Washington, and Washington rallied late. They scored on their last drive. So, I mean, maybe it looks more close than it actually was, that 8-point margin. So that being said, I think Utah will be the move. I mean, UCLA at home, unless they get these fans to actually show up, I don't really feel comfortable taking them in this setting.
It's just Utes favored by 3.5 on the road in Pasadena, Justin. And Utah seems too good to be true here. Damn it all.
Utah's the better team. I think they're tougher in the trenches.
Yes.
I think they're better coached.
Yes.
And that's not even a shot at Chip Kelly. I just think Utah's quietly like one of the best coach programs in the country. And we don't give him credit because people don't like Whittingham because he's a little bit prickly. But I'm all in on Utah. They're still the betting favorite to win the Pac-12, by the way. Plus 160, USC plus 200.
I might literally have to parlay LSU, TCU, Mississippi State, and UCLA at this point, guys. We're either seeing the board so clearly that we're going to go like 7-0 on these picks, or my parlay is going to hit and we'll go 0-7. Because I agree with everything you're saying. It just, I can't. Okay. Jake, again, Pac-12, we stay with you. Wazoo at USC. Justin already spoiled that he's feeling Wazoo. I am too. So there you go. Pound away on USC, I guess.
I mean, I think I normally would take USC minus 13 here. Minus I have 13. Taken them in big spreads throughout the season, that. And they haven't covered, though. So,
okay. Fresno, they got it, but we needed a Jake Haener injury, which, like,
right, exactly.
Shouts to our guy. Hope you're feeling better, Jake. Okay.
Give me the Trojans. Oh, I'm on the Trojans.
On the Trojans. Now they do cover the big spread. Okay.
I think they got to cover one of these at some point. So I'm jumping back on.
Plus 390 Wazoo on the money line. Whoa. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, that defense is going to hound them, put pressure. You do worry about what you said about Wazoo's wide receivers.
Yes, well, especially against the secondary. And you worry about some of the throws Ward's made against this defense that's shown they can turn over anybody in the country.
Ding, ding, ding.
Exactly.
That's the route to 13. Okay, now we're talking some sense. But like our like ape minds wanna take the dog. Exactly.
Yes. Like I do think it's going to be a good game, but I think the talent gap is enough between these two teams where USC, assuming they don't shoot themselves in the foot, And assuming that their offensive line doesn't totally shit the bed against this Washington State defensive line, which does, I mean, they get pressure without sending extra guys pretty consistently. So if they can make Williams throw some of those, you know, prayer balls and they can create some plays, who knows? It could get interesting. I like their secondary as well. But I just, USC has insane receivers. Washington State just doesn't have enough talent at the skill guys.
Yeah. Yeah. At both sides of the ball, honestly. All right. It's that week. We all circled it in red. It's the dumbass Jimbo going to Tuscaloosa. But Bryce Young is a true game time decision, is the verbiage I see online. And yet the book lane 24 on Bama at home here. Oh man. I kind of think they keep this close.
I do too. Right. That's what my gut says, that A&M keeps it close. I will say A&M has not been impressive in the trenches on either side of the football. And if Alabama can get the run game going, I could see a situation where if they get up a couple scores early, then all of a sudden A&M's trying to throw, you get some turnovers, and Bama covers, you know, fairly easily just with the way that the game plays out. We'll see. Last week, Bama kind of went back to their roots a little bit, and we're just like, you want to know what? We'll run it 40 times if we have to, and we can, and Saban prefers to play that way.
Yep.
So I think, I don't know, I kind of lean Bama to cover it now that I talk myself through it, but I don't know, love just this. The way these games seem to play out with Bama and A&M, it just feels like it's always close. Like, I don't know. I know that's not like astute analysis, but Jimbo just kind of seems to have Saban's number in that regard.
It does, yes. Jake, talk to me.
Even if Bryce Young doesn't play, Jalen Milroe last week against Arkansas was very impressive. Just the athleticism and speed at quarterback. I mean, it's kind of like Jalen Hurts at this point. I don't really know if I'm confident enough in him as a passer, but as Justin said, with this guy, Milroe, even if he plays, you can just run the ball, and I think that 24 is definitely in play. 24 is so big. I really don't want to take it, but I think that's what I would do.
Okay, good. I love that. We're taking the uncomfortable pick. I love that because they've circled this, and I mean, they want to humiliate and obliterate Jimbo, and they've been really banged up in the secondary. I mean, Antonio Johnson's like superhuman trying to keep that thing together, the A&M safety. It's a lot of young corners and stuff, and they're banged up. And they might be in real trouble. They might really get obliterated in this one if the stars align.
Saban will talk them into, despite the fact that they're 24-point favorites because they lost last year, he will talk them into,
last year,
people don't believe in you.
Yes.
You know, like they think A&M can come in here and show you, like, look what people said all over the country. You know, everyone's talking about Georgia now. Everyone's talking about their recruiting class.
Right.
You know, that Alabama's old news.
Great.
He loves
point.
This shit.
And it's with their backup quarterback, which allows him to talk into this even more. Now that I think about it, last time, let's just think the last couple of times Bama's had to go to their backup quarterback. Tua comes in the second half, wins them a natty, turns into like a Heisman favorite for 2 years. Mac Jones comes in and we're like, ah, shit, their season's over. Obliterate a Michigan defense that was full of NFL talents. And then Bryce comes in and is like aces right from off the bat, like doesn't even have to compete for the spot. So yeah, you, and I mean, last week they looked just fine without Bryce. Okay. FSU, NC State, or anything else you got for me? FSU to me is like LSU. I can't really bet them. I hate them so much.
What is the line here?
Yeah, let me find that for you because I think that's why I put it on here. It's a juicy line.
And it's -3 NC State.
NC State's the higher ranked. I mean, it's, again, this is, if I could bet them, this would be written in the stars, essentially, that Florida State +3 might be poised for the upset here.
Oh, man.
I know.
Looks like Jordan Travis has actually been the more efficient quarterback than Leary at this point.
Yeah, crazy.
As you said, Dre, I've been hurt so much by Florida State the last 5 years or so that I just don't know if I'm that ready to jump on yet. maybe after this one, I'd be willing to give me the Wolfpack minus three.
Justin.
NC State has done so little to confirm the preseason hype. I thought they were going to be pretty good. I thought they were going to be a sleeper in the ACC. They're still ranked. I get it.
They're ranked right now. It's crazy.
I know, but it does anybody buy them as an actual contender in the ACC at this point?
No.
They only lost to Clemson by 10 last week.
That was kind of fun. True. These Clemson games the last 2 weeks have been fun.
I'll take them at home.
I don't know what side is the cheese side here. Who can someone call up the book and ask the book, who does the book want me to bet on? Who's the book begging me to bet on? I think it's NC State, so I'll take FSU. But I hate it. I hate it. I'm not allowed to bet on FSU. I hate it. The I hate picks of the week are TCU minus 6.5. Mississippi State minus 9, UCLA plus 3.5, USC minus 13, Bama minus 24, LSU plus 3, and Florida State plus 3. You hate every single one of those picks. It might be genius. That might actually hit. It's so genius. So
reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology. Don't be suckered into who the book wants you to bet. Go the other way. Always a pleasure and a joy, fellas. So I forgot all about last night. Thank you as always.
Until you mentioned it.
I know. I'm a dick like that. Have a great weekend. Go Rams. Big one against Nevada. Justin's got you covered from all angles. Jake has a coaching search. Like, what?
Yeah, man. He's talk about it. It's crazy.
Barely a month into the job. We got some coaching searches. I mean, this is amazing. Stay tuned to our guys. They're always the best. You are always the best for listening to us, DNVR Draft Pod. Have a great weekend. We out.